Iran calling for immediate international action over Israel acts of aggression against Syria after a new Israeli airstrike hits the country. An imprisoned senior member of the Palestinian Islamic Jihad movement is on a hunger strike for 2 weeks to protest Israel's extension of his solitary confinement. North Korea test fires intercontinental ballistic missiles, saying it shows the country's capacity of a fatal nuclear counterattack. The top story this hour, Israel has carried out a new air raid in Syria, targeting the capital Damascus with missiles. The attack left 5 people, including a soldier, dead and 15 civilians wounded. The Syrian army says that Israel targeted several residential buildings, but most of the missiles were intercepted by the air defense. Iran has condemned the attack. Foreign Ministry spokesman Nasser Kanani slammed what it called the West's shameful silence over repeated violations of Syrian sovereignty. He called on international organizations, especially the UN Security Council, to take immediate action. Kanani said the subsequent Israeli and Daesh attacks on Saturday and early Sunday showed a natural and inherent bond of the two terrorist entities. He said that comes at a time when Syria is reeling from the recent devastating earthquake. Palestinian resistance groups have also condemned the Israeli attack. Okay, now let's get an update on that and get some more information. So we'll bring it in Mohammed Ali, our correspondent in the Syrian capital, Damascus. Mohammed, tell us more about it.
I am currently in Kafr Susa quarter in the capital Damascus, in one of the areas that were hit by the Israeli aggression yesterday. This is a residential quarter, of course, where I am standing over here. The building that was actually targeted, and also the huge hole in the ground that was caused by this Israeli missile. Of course, what we know, according to an official military source here in Damascus, is that at 12:22 a.m. Local time, the Israeli airplanes, fighter jets, attacked Syria. The Syrian air defenses, of course, directly confronted this attack. They held it, shooting down most of the enemy missiles. However, several enemy missiles did hit areas in the capital, Damascus, mainly here in Kafr Susa, and also in other parts like Al-Mazra'a. Over here, according to official statements, 5 people were killed as a result of this attack. One of them only is a military personnel, and 15 others were injured. The massive destruction caused by this Israeli missile, enemy missile that hit this building, all windows of apartments broke. Also, balconies of the apartments collapsed down, causing, of course, not just destruction but fear at this hour of that night yesterday when this happened. About 12:20 a.m. This is a residential area. It's all residential buildings, despite the fact that, yes, there are some governmental establishments like the Prime Minister's office or the Ministry of Interior. However, this area over here is all residential, and civilians have been killed, unfortunately. Now, we know that Iran condemned this aggression. Also, Russia just recently, the Russian Foreign Ministry also expressed condemnation over this aggression, saying that it is a violation of international law. Syrian Foreign Ministry also issued a statement about this aggression, condemning, of course, this attack, saying that this aggression is part, it comes in the framework of Israel's systematic attacks on civilian targets inside Syria, whether airports, residential areas, or even quarters like this one that I am in. again. The foreign ministry called on the United Nations to shoulder its responsibility, carry out, take some procedures or measures in order to put an end to such aggressions, and also punish Israel for its attacks. Syria said it expects the UN Security Council and Secretary General to issue a condemnation over this attack. According to the so-called Syrian Observatory for Human Rights, 15 people were killed. But according to the Syrian authorities over here, only 5 killed and 15 others injured. It's definitely not the first attack of its kind. It comes as Syrians are already suffering due to this recent massive earthquake. So definitely this adds to their suffering, and definitely it is against international law. It is undermines Syria's sovereignty. It's a violation of the UN Charter, whether it was whether this aggression was targeting a civilian area or even a Syrian military post. Eventually, this is an aggression on a sovereign country, and still there is silence, international silence, over such attacks.
Okay, thank you very much for that. Mohammed Ali, our correspondent, live for us in Damascus, the Syrian capital. Now, moving on, today marks the 15th day of the hunger strike by a senior member of the Palestinian Islamic Jihad movement held in an Israeli jail. Qadr Adnan is protesting against the extension of his solitary confinement. The 44-year-old was arrested during a raid on his home near the occupied West Bank city of Jenin earlier this month. He's been arrested 12 times and spent nearly 8 years behind bars. More than 7,000 Palestinians are held in Israeli jails. Hamas's movement has vowed to continue its support for the Palestinians in jails. Hamas says that the Israeli regime is subjecting the detainees to the most brutal forms of abuse. Israel has recently stepped up crackdown on Palestinians. In protest of the atrocities, the Palestinians have launched a general strike in the occupied Al-Quds and several West Bank cities. Mona Kandil says that Qadr Adnan has staged a number of hunger strikes to protest his detention by the Israeli regime. And she explains why Adnan has staged this new strike, which is open-ended.
Israeli soldiers had arrested Palestinians. Qadr Adnan engaged in a number of hunger strikes in the past. Every time he succeeded to force the Israeli forces to end his illegal administrative detention in order that he stops his hunger strike. When he reaches literally, verge of death, he ends his hunger strike after the Israelis, of course, stop his administrative detention. This time, he declared an open-ended hunger strike the moment he was detained, up till the moment the Israelis are keeping him under administrative detention. If every, 2 weeks, they would be renewing his detention, and then they might give him a lengthy time that could last for years under the so-called administrative detention. So this is why this time he's again being engaged in an open-ended hunger strike in an attempt to force the Israelis either to prosecute him and tell him what are the exact charges against them, if there are any charges against him, or to end the administrative detention and release him.
North Korea says it launched an intercontinental ballistic missile on Saturday to confirm its readiness for what it calls a fatal nuclear counterattack. Official news agency described the test as a sudden launching drill ordered by leader Kim Jong-un. The report said that the move demonstrates Pyongyang's actual war capacity against hostile forces. The ICBM landed in waters off Japan. The launch came after North warned of an unprecedentedly strong response to the upcoming drills by the U.S. and South Korea. The missile test has drawn an angry reaction from the U.S.
The DPRK once again launched a ballistic missile, this one apparently falling in the exclusive economic zone of Japan. That's happened before in recent months, but this is yet again provocative act by North Korea. We call on others to condemn this action, to take appropriate steps, including the effective enforcement of sanctions.
Japan's foreign minister also called North Korea move an absolutely unacceptable provocation. That was also echoed by South Korean foreign minister, who's warning Pyongyang of more severe sanctions. South Korea and the U.S. have staged joint air drills involving an American bomber in response to North Korea's missile launch. Pyongyang has always maintained that it is the U.S. and South Korea that are undermining regional stability. The North says it's watching their moves and will take corresponding and powerful counteraction. Our Seoul correspondent Jennifer Chang tells us about the significance of North Korea's latest ICBM launch.
This was an unannounced order by North Korea for the firing of an ICBM for the first time in its history. Usually, an ICBM is fired with a great deal of pre-planning, and everyone knows the date and time at which it will be fired. But North Korea this time demonstrated that it is capable of making a surprise counterattack against a U.S. and South Korean nuclear attack by issuing an order at dawn yesterday, Saturday, and then less than half a day later, firing off a Hwasong-15 ICBM capable of reaching the entire continental U.S. And even though this is liquid-fueled, this ICBM could be fueled up in less than half a day. So North Korea is showing South Korea and the U.S. that no matter how many large-scale military drills they hold, they are not going to trump North Korea. North Korea says it will not allow Washington and Seoul to gain a long-term military advantage over Pyongyang.
In other news, Russia has rejected U.S. allegations of committing crimes against humanity in Ukraine. It says that the U.S. is fueling the crisis in Ukraine through supplying arms to that country, and it's just trying to justify that. A Russian ambassador to the U.S. says that such accusations also aim to demonize Russia, calling them part of a hybrid war against the country. The reaction followed comments by U.S. Vice President Kamala Harris at the Munich Security Conference. There, she said that the United States has formally concluded that Russia has committed crimes against humanity in Ukraine. Last year, too, the U.S. claimed that Russia committed war crimes in Ukraine. Moscow has repeatedly denied targeting civilians in the year-long war. It's in turn accused Ukraine of committing crimes against humanity against people in the eastern Donbass region. Staying with Ukraine, Russia is saying it's hit several sites belonging to the Ukrainian military, including ammunition depots. And Kiev is reporting attacks on Russian targets. Our correspondent, Jana Miller, has more.
They're continuing to hit ammunition storage facilities across Ukraine. Meanwhile, Ukraine, particularly with their HIMARS missiles, attempting to do the same here in Donbass. The major fighting at the moment is around the towns of Pardemut in the north of Donbass and in Ulaanbaatar. The Russians have been trying to take these settlements for weeks, even months now. But the Ukrainians putting up fierce resistance, heavily dug in, urban warfare. But the Russians at the moment seem that they're trying to make some advances. The Ukrainians have had some success pushing them back, and Russia now relying on its artillery to continue to try to push these Ukrainian defenders out of these settlements. We're also still expecting, it may not happen at all, a huge Russian offensive across the country. We're not sure Vladimir Putin is due to make a speech in a couple of days. But at the moment, it's the political will that's going to have to deteriorate if we're going to see peace in this conflict. NATO politicians continuing to be bombastic about Ukraine's chances, but behind the scenes, many continuing, increasingly worrying that it may not be possible in the long term to continue to support Ukraine. In populations, voters are increasingly disagreeing with sending money or weapons to Ukraine, and indeed ammunition and weapon stocks in NATO countries are diminishing as well.
The cost of living crisis in Europe has triggered fresh protests and strikes across the continent. In Spain, thousands of supporters of public health protests in Madrid over what they called the destruction of the public health system by the conservative regional government. In Portugal, thousands of teachers held rallies in capital Lisbon demanding higher pay and better working conditions. That was the third such protest in less than a month in the European country.
Protesters have returned to major cities across Europe to voice their anger at the rising cost of living across the continent. In Spain, people held a massive rally in Madrid against what they call the regional government's dismantling of the public health care system. Officials say 250,000 people turned out, but organizers put the number as high as a million. That is the largest such demonstration in recent months. Protesters accuse the regional government of prioritizing private health. They say the public health service is suffering from staff and equipment shortages because of the government's policies. Some primary care doctors and healthcare workers have also been holding regular strikes over better working conditions and pay.
The condition of the public health system is deteriorating. The number of doctors have been decreasing with medical conditions getting worse. Many medical centers have been closed.
The region's right-wing leader has repeatedly claimed that the protesters are motivated by political interests. And in the Portuguese city of Lisbon, tens of thousands of teachers have taken to the streets amid public discontent over the cost of living crisis. It is the third time in less than a month that teachers and school workers have held mass demonstrations. Teachers want a pay rise and are also calling on the government to speed up career progression. Officials say negotiations with teachers' unions are ongoing and expressed hope that an agreement would be reached soon. Portugal is one of Western Europe's poorest countries, which is seeing decades-high inflation and is grappling with the cost of living crisis.
We are here to claim our rights, which were taken away from us a long time ago. Our careers have been frozen for a long time, and that can't be. We have the right to have a more dignified career. We can't work like this. It just can't be.
And that brings you to the end of this newscast from Tehran.
Follow us on social media to stay up to date on the latest global developments. You can keep in touch with us by following us on Twitter at twitter.com/ParsTodayEN. You can also follow IRIB English Radio on Instagram via instagram.com/ParsTodayEnglish.
About yourself?
I'm Eric Shumanandi from India.
I was born actually in London, England.
I'm a journalist by profession.
I'm 20 years old and I'm a student of physics. My dad, who taught me the art of
radio. Listeners Special.
In the name of God, the All-Compassionate, the All-Merciful. Salam, dear listeners, and warm greetings to you all. Welcome to another edition of Listeners Special on this beautiful Sunday, February 19th, 2023. I'm Atefe Erfani, hosting this program today. Listeners Special is the Sunday program where your views are presented through emails, letters, and messages. So please contact us and tell us what you think about our broadcast. And tell us which program or programs you like the best. And if you have any message for our great listeners around the world, you can record your voice, send it to us, and get your voice heard in this program. Remember, Listeners Special is your program. It's your views that are important. This is Listeners Special, and here we've received reception reports from around the world. From Yaroslav Mer Kashe from Russia, from Ratan Kumar Paul from India, and from Nektarios Manousos from Greece. So, Yaroslav, Nektarios, and Ratan Kumar, thank you very much for sending us these reception reports. And we want you to know how much we value your support and commitment to IRIB English Radio. As you may know, these reception reports are very helpful to IRIB English Radio because these reception reports actually enable us to provide a better service for our listeners around the world. So, all of you who have sent in a reception report will be receiving an electronic QSL from us. And of course, we've received many emails from around the world, which I mention some of your names here. And later during the program, I will read these emails. From Algeria, we've received an email from Omar Lassas. From Russia, we've received an email from Yaroslav Merkashev. Najmuddin from India, one of our old and regular listeners, has sent us an email. From Malaysia, we've received an email from Muhammad Briel, one of our old and regular listeners. And the last but not the least is an email from Avinash Chikot from India. Please stay with us. Welcome back. This is Listeners Special, and from Algeria, we've received an email from Omar Lassas. Let's see what Omar says. Dear friends at English section of IRIB, I hope you're doing well. I wish you a happy World Radio Day 2023. Thank you for airing informative programs. Keep up the good work. Kind regards. Salam from Tehran and warm greetings to you, Omar Lassas from Algeria, and thank you very much for writing this email to us, to IRIB English Radio staff. We also wish you a very happy World Radio Day 2023, which happened to be on February 13th last week. Thank you very much for this email, Omar Lassas from Algeria. And thank you for your support and commitment to IRIB English Radio. Please accept our electronic QSL as verification and write to us soon. We are looking forward to hearing from you very soon. And of course, listening to your views about our broadcast. And from Russia, we've received an email from Yaroslav Merkashev. Yaroslav says, hello, dear staff of IRIB English Radio. My name is Yaroslav Merkashev, and I'm sending this reception report from Samar, Russia. I'm also attaching an audio file to my email. I wish you good luck and prosperity of the radio station. Salam and warm greetings to you from Tehran, the capital of Islamic Republic of Iran. And thank you very much for this email, Yaroslav from Russia. We also wish you luck, and we are looking forward to hearing from you very soon. Please accept our electronic QSL or EQSL as verification. Welcome back. As I said, Najmuddin, one of our old and regular listeners from India, has sent us an email. Najmuddin says, "Dear sir or madam, assalamu alaikum. Wish you a very happy World Radio Day 2023. News and news highlights program of your radio is always my favorite broadcast. This week, you presented some special discussion on Iran and Iranian Revolution that I found very informative. Kindly send me new program and frequency schedule and some IRIB souvenirs. Thank you. Salam and warm greetings to you, and thank you very much for your support and commitment to IRIB English Radio. Najmuddin from India. So, you're interested in the news section and news highlights program. Good. We wish you all the best, and we are looking forward to hearing from you very soon. Najmuddin from India, unfortunately, sending any items, I mean souvenirs, promotional items, including frequency schedule, is not possible at the time of pandemic. So to find the frequency schedule, you can refer to our website at parstoday.ir/en, and there you can find the information you need. Also, please accept our EQSL, electronic QSL, as verification. Anyway, thank you very much for sending us this email, Najmuddin from India. And from Malaysia, we've received an email from Muhammad Briel. Muhammad Briel says, "Assalamu alaikum, greetings from Malaysia. You may be interested to know that the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran was received on shortwave frequency here in Kuala Lumpur area. A detailed reception report of this English language broadcast may be found in my email. Should it be correct, your QSL card would be very much appreciated. Thank you and best wishes." Salam and greetings to you from Tehran, the capital city of the Islamic Republic of Iran, to you, Muhammad Briel from Malaysia, one of our old and regular listeners. I appreciate you for sending this email to us, so please accept our EQSL as verification. We wish you all the best, and we are looking forward to hearing from you very soon, Muhammad Briel from Malaysia. Don't forget to tell us your views about our broadcast, Muhammad. And after a short break, I will be back with you. And the last email in this edition of Listeners Special is an email from Avinash Chikat from India. Avinash says, "I am pleased to report the reception of your English language transmissions of the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on shortwave. I hope that you'd find this report of some use. If found correct, kindly verify these with your QSL card or even an EQSL. First of all, salam and greetings to you, and thank you very much for this email, Avinash from India. So please accept our electronic QSL as verification. We wish you all the best, and we are looking forward to hearing from you very soon, Avinash Chikat from India." Welcome back. So we had a great time being with you in this edition of Listeners Special on February 19th, 2023. Anyway, art is long, but life is short, as I always say. But before saying goodbye, let me appreciate those of our great listeners who have kindly sent us reception reports as well as emails and letters from around the world, including Yaroslav Merkashev from Russia, Nektarios Manousas from Greece, Ratan Kumar Pol from India, Omar Lassas from Algeria, as well as Najmuddin from India, Mohammad Brayal from Malaysia, and Avinash Chikat from India. Many thanks for being with us. Please keep in touch with Listeners Special Program and IRIB English Radio. We wish you all the best. God bless you and goodbye.
Dear listeners, your opinion is always important to us. We invite you to spend just a few minutes writing us a letter or sending us an email. We will be glad to hear from all of our listeners who have any questions or comments about any of our programs. Our postal address is IRIB English Service, P.O. Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran. You can also send us emails to englishradio@irib.ir. Please visit our website at parstoday.ir/en. Our phone number is 0098-21-2201-3720. Thank you all for being with IRIB English Radio.
وقضى ربك ألا تعبدوا إلا إياه وبالوالدين إحسانا.
Your Lord has decreed that you shall not worship anyone except Him, and He has enjoined kindness to parents.
For humanity.
Sayyid Abdullah Al-Musawi.
A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Brothers, sisters, dear listeners, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome to IRIB English Radio, and you are listening to the program For Humanity. We are looking at human traits that make us human, and where would be the best place to look in better than the holy book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because He created man and He knows what they need. One of the traits that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that you guys need to have in order for you to maintain human rights, to maintain God's right, your right, and everyone else's right, is the concept of taqwa. And taqwa is one of the most misunderstood concepts in the Quran, or at least one of the ones that are not taken seriously, because then again, it's just taqwa, right? And we just pass on. We're trying to look at this concept of taqwa and see how it plays a massive role and a crucial role in the life of a human beings if they have that trait. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in chapter 5 verse 8, He says, أَلَّا تَعْدُلُوا أَعْدُلُوا هُوَ أَقْرَبُ لِلتَّقْوَى وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ خَبِيرٌ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ. So the ayah begins like this: all you who believe, be persistently standing firm for Allah, witnesses injustice, and do not let the hatred of people prevent you from being just. Be just, that is near to righteousness. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He mentions taqwa, And he says, Wattaqullah. And adl is self-justice, is a closer
أقرب للتقوى, meaning that when we are muttaqin, we are in the realm of justice. And when we are in the realm of justice, then we should not, or at least we will not harm other people. So taqwa here, being conscious of Allah, being mindful of Allah, will bring the notion of justice with it. So this verse highlights the importance of justice and fairness, not only in Islam, but in life generally, and encourages the Muslims, encourages mankind to act justly even in the face of oppression and hostility. And he says, even when people are trying to force you, people trying to oppress you, no matter what situation you're in, what you need to do is have taqwa and face your opponents. In relation to human rights, this verse promotes the idea that all the individuals and all individuals are entitled to fair treatment and equal protection under the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah says, كُونُوا قَوَّامِينَ لِلَّهِ شُهَدَاءَ بِالْقِسْطِ. Be firm, stand firm in applying justice. And don't worry, don't fear other people. So again, the concept here is justice, which goes back to what? To taqwa. Let us take a short break and then we will come back.
Dear listeners, you are listening to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. You can send us your emails, comments, and questions at englishradio@irib.ir.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters, and you are listening to the program for humanity. So we're saying that verse 8 of chapter 5, Allah says, وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهِ and fear Allah, إِنَّ اللَّهَ خَبِيرٌ. Surely Allah is more knowing, is all-knowing. So this verse, it tries to encourage individuals to stand up for justice and speak out against any form of discrimination, any form of injustice, any form of tyranny. This is basically it. And people only do that who are muttaqeen, the ones that fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the ones that are mindful of Allah's laws. When I am mindful of Allah's laws and Allah's commands, then I don't want to see them being broken. When I see a person being oppressed, then someone is breaking the command of Allah. And as a person who loves Allah and wants to uphold the laws of Allah, I would have to fight that person who's breaking these laws. So you see that I'm trying to help a fellow human being in order to uphold his right against an oppressive another human being. So the verse also acknowledges that there may be times when individuals face opposition or hatred from others, because the Quran clearly say in the verse, وَلَا يَجْرِمَنَّكُمْ شَنْآنَ قَوْمٍ عَلَىٰ أَنْ لَا تَعْدُلُوا. Because it says, don't be afraid when some people try to start a new face. No, we know times are hard. We know there will be people to oppose you, but you need to fight. However, it emphasizes that this should not prevent people from doing what's right and fair. Instead, individuals should persist in their commitment to justice and fairness, even in the face of opposition. By promoting justice and fairness, this verse helps to support the protection of a human rights and promotion of equality. That's as simple as it gets. In fact, it encourages individuals to act in a way that respects the rights of other people and seek solution that are fair and just for all parties involved. In this way, it helps to create a society that is safe, stable, and secure for all. Because ultimately, this is what we want, and this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants for us. So the chapter Al-Ma'idah, and the specific verse 8, Allah also comes back and say, taqwa, taqwa, taqwa. And like I said, if you read the Quran from the first page to the last page, you will see taqwa being repeated over and over and over again. But sometimes, I and you, we need to hit the brake and ask the question, why is it repeated so much? What is Allah trying to get me to do? What is taqwa? How do I achieve taqwa? What are the benefits of taqwa? What are the harms of not having taqwa? And so on and so forth. So when we start to ask ourselves all these questions and we seek the answers to them, then that should clearly make us better people. That should make us people who are mindful of Allah, mindful of themselves, and they hold themselves accountable for their actions. And they are also mindful of other people to the point that they do not cause them any harm. Thank you for listening. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
اللهم صل على محمد وآله اللهم صل على محمد وآله
This is IRIB English Radio.
IRIB English Radio, with you every single moment.
In the limelight.
A new survey shows that half of the people in Canada are very angry about what they view as the country's mismanagement. In another survey, nearly 60% of Canadians said higher borrowing costs will take a toll. According to this poll, younger Canadians are more likely to feel financial squeeze. In this regard, we have taken a look at world media websites for further details. Stay tuned for more. RT noted in this regard, over two-thirds of Canadians, 67%, believe their country is broken, according to poll results published recently by the National Post and Legger. Respondents across the political spectrum see a large divide between the issues they deal with in their daily lives and the issues their government chooses to focus on. Respondents were asked whether they agreed with Conservative Party leader Pierre Poilievre's claim that it feels like everything is broken in this country right now. though Poilievre's name was not mentioned. Just 25% disagreed with the statement, with the remainder undecided. Half of respondents reported feeling angry with the way Canada was being managed, with 2 out of 5 of those being very, very angry. Women were slightly more likely to be angry than men and inhabitants of the Midwestern provinces, including Alberta, Manitoba, and Saskatchewan, were more upset than those on their coast. More than two-thirds, 68% of respondents named rising costs and inflation and interest rates as the primary issue affecting Canadians, with the state of healthcare also commanding 59% of the vote. Affording a place to live came third, named by 43% of respondents, and jobs and the economy rounded out the top four with 40%. This contrasts with where Canadians believe the federal government is focusing its energies. Just 28% see Ottawa concentrating, like them, on rising costs and inflation, while 27% said environment and climate change was the government's primary focus. Another 25% said the government was chiefly concerned with Canada's response to the Russia-Ukraine conflict, while only 14% of poll respondents listed the crisis as a significant issue affecting their own lives. Fully 22% of respondents confessed they had no idea what the federal government was prioritizing. Local government was seen as slightly more in touch, with 37% of poll respondents reporting their provincial leaders were most focused on healthcare, 28% on rising costs and inflation, and 27% on jobs and the economy. However, 17% of respondents said they did not know what their local government was prioritizing. Conducted late last month, the poll surveyed 1,555 Canadians randomly recruited from an online panel. Canadians are far from alone in their economic malaise. Recent polls show two-thirds of Americans believe their country is on the wrong track and the economy is widely considered to be the primary challenge facing the U.S. Meanwhile, Bloomberg reported a majority of Canadians say they will be squeezed if the Bank of Canada holds borrowing costs at the current 15-year high, pointing to an impending slowdown in consumption. Some 59% of Canadians expect to be negatively impacted if the central bank keeps its benchmark interest rate at about 4.5% this year, according to Nanos Research Group survey conducted for Bloomberg News. Another 14% see a positive effect, while 1 in 5 say there will be no impact. The data support the belief among policymakers that a pullback in consumer spending will drag economic growth to a crawl as heavily indebted households contend with higher mortgage and loan costs. Most analysts expect Canada to enter a technical recession at some point this year as interest payments crimp expenditures. Watch out for Canadians tightening their grip on the spending wallet for 2023, Nick Nanos, founder of the firm, said by email, adding, Even a holding pattern for the current rate will have some sort of negative impact on their personal finances. Inflation, however, is still a greater concern than higher interest rates. Nearly 85% of respondents said they are more worried about the elevated cost of everyday goods like food and gas than borrowing costs. Little changed from the middle of last year when annual price gains peaked at 8.1%. Younger consumers were more likely to feel pinched, with 67% of respondents aged 18 to 34 saying higher rates had a negative or somewhat negative effect. For those 55 and older, it's only 48%. According to Bloomberg, the Bank of Canada indicated last month it plans to hold borrowing costs and assess the lagged impact of one of the most aggressive increases to interest rates in its history. Policymakers say the pause is conditional on the economy and inflation evolving broadly in line with their forecasts, and warned of more hikes should the data surprise to the upside. In a separate survey, Statistics Canada said recently that one in four Canadians polled between October 21st and December 4th say they would be unable to cover an unexpected expense of $500 Canadian, that is $374 US, with more than a third reporting it was difficult for their households to meet financial needs over the last year.
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1520 to 1620 UTC on the following frequencies. 31 meters, 9,650 kilohertz for the Indian subcontinent, and FM 91.5 MHz for Tehran. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Eutelsat 3B, and Iran Sat or Bat 5, and via the internet. Our internet address is parstoday.ir/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you. You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily round the clock for listeners across the globe. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran can be heard via the internet, shortwave, FM, and satellite. Our listeners in the Indian subcontinent can listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 31 meters, 9,650 kilohertz, every day from 1520 to 1620 UTC. Also, our listeners in Europe can tune in to the English service of the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 49 meters, 6040 kHz, and in southern Africa via shortwave 25 meters, 11880 kHz every day from 1920 to 2020 UTC. Our listeners in Tehran can also listen to our programs via FM 91.5 MHz. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Eutelsat 3B, and Iran Sador Bat 5, and via the internet. Our internet address is parstoday.ir/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day with Dr. Shiraz Hossein Agha on IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Welcome to our program, Hadith of the Day, here at IRIB English Radio. Today on Hadith of the Day, we would like to recite a beautiful hadith which has been transmitted from Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam. This hadith alludes to the reason for the creation of man. There is a couple of verses in the Holy Quran which kind of alludes to this matter. For example, in one verse of the Holy Quran, which is a very famous verse, every Muslim knows it, Allah says, I did not create the jinn and the humans except that they may worship me. And he also says in another place, had your Lord wished, he would have made mankind one community, but they continue to differ. Except those on whom your Lord has mercy, and that is why he created them. A number of hadiths have also been transmitted regarding the creation of man and its purpose. For example, Imam Ali alayhi salam says, you were ordered to fear Allah, and you were created for obedience and good deeds. In this connection, Imam Hussein alayhi salam says, O people, Allah exalted be his remembrance, has only created people so that they might know him. And when they know him, they worship him. And when they worship him, they become needless of worshiping others by his worship. A man asked him, O son of the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, may my parents be your ransom. What is meant by knowing Allah? He replied, it is that the people of each era must know their imam, to whom obedience is mandatory. Right? So here the imam, alayhi salam, kind of ties up the knowledge of Allah, the ma'rifatullah, with the knowledge of the imam. These are kind of connected with one another, obviously. When we recognize Allah, we recognize that he is a perfect being, he has infinite knowledge, infinite wisdom, he couldn't have created us in vain. And therefore, he must send dignitaries, guides that can help guide us on the path of truth. And these are the imams. We have to recognize them. You know, so this the ma'rifatullah is connected to the ma'rifat and the knowledge of the imam alayhi salam. So this is actually the purpose, one of the purposes of creation, to recognize the Imam,